Flashcards are often viewed as a silver bullet, promising swift mastery of characters, words, and more. But relying on flashcards too much has serious drawbacks, and if you're not careful, they can hinder more than they help. Hello and welcome to the Hacking Chinese podcast. In this week's episode, we are going to continue the discussion about using flashcards to learn Chinese. And in the first episode in this series, which was episode 173, I talked about the benefits of flashcards and why it is that they work so well for learning some things, which also explains why some students like using flashcards so much. To summarize the benefits I talked about in that episode, I said that flashcards are an efficient way to learn the basic meaning of words and characters. I also said it's an excellent way to learn to write Chinese characters by hand and remember how to do so if that is important to you. I also said that they offer immediate feedback on what you don't know, so you can focus more time on that. And I said that they are flexible and can be used in almost any situation, making them very versatile as a study tool, especially, of course, if they are digital. Flashcards also give you measurable progress. You can see how many words you learn, and you can see that number ticking up, and that is motivating. Finally, I talked about the benefits of having a list of all the words and characters you know, so you can, for example, save interesting notes for them, or maybe import them into some online tool to suggest reading materials for you. Now, I don't know what reaction you had when listening to that episode, and if you haven't listened to it, I strongly suggest that you do before listening to this one. But my guess is that at least some of you were nodding along and thinking that, yeah, flashcards can be really useful and they have helped me learn a lot when it comes to Chinese words and characters. Some of you probably felt more uncomfortable, however, thinking that flashcards aren't as good as I made them sound in that episode. And that was, like I said in the introduction of the episode, deliberate. I wanted to focus on the upsides first and then talk more about the downsides in this episode. So regardless if you love or hate flashcards, or maybe if you're like most people and don't have very strong opinions about flashcards, the goal of this episode is to serve as a counterweight looking at potential downsides. So if flashcards is an important part of your learning routine, I strongly suggest that you listen to the various points that I bring up in this episode and consider whether or not they apply to you. My goal here is not to convince you to stop using flashcards, but it is to consider what you're using them for and how much. Now, if you don't like flashcards, I hope that you'll find my discussion of the downsides interesting, and I also encourage you to leave your own thoughts and reflections as a comment on Hacking Chinese or contacting me in some other way. To be clear, when I talk about flashcards, I mainly talk about digital ones, usually incorporated in a spaced repetition software of some kind. And I did talk more about what a flashcard is and why it matters that it's digital in the previous episode. So do listen to that episode first before you continue with this one, especially if you don't have much experience with flashcards for learning languages. So now we're going to go through 7 downsides of using flashcards for learning Chinese. For each of these, I will not only try to explain what I think the problem is, I also want to discuss whether or not the problem is actually in the flashcards. Because a flashcard is just a tool, and like any other tool, if you use it incorrectly, it's going to be bad, or if you use it for something for which it wasn't designed, it's not going to work. So it might be that it's not always the flashcards that are at fault, but rather how they are used. So this is something I want to discuss as well. So here is an outline of the downsides I want to talk about. Number 1, a lack of context. Number 2, low transferability. Number 3, shallow processing. Number 4, not meaning focused. Number 5, time waste and opportunity cost. Number 6, measurable progress to a fault. And number 7, great for reviewing but not learning new things. Let's get started. Flashcard problem number 1, lack of context. Flashcards often focus on an isolated part of the language, maybe it is a word, maybe a character, or maybe even a character component. And not only that, it focuses on one small aspect of each of these things. So for example, maybe the pronunciation of a word, or say the handwriting of a component or something else. It's a very tiny part of the language. As mentioned in the previous episode in this series, this is actually a benefit of flashcards as well, because it can help you isolate what you don't know. And for example, if you don't need to review the pronunciation, then you don't need to, because you can keep track of that with flashcards. But if you do need to practice handwriting, you know that because those are the flashcards you get wrong, and so you can allocate time more effectively. Now, the huge problem here is that meaning in language is not conveyed through small isolated parts of the language, but rather through a unified whole. This means that thinking that you truly know a character just because you got it right 20 times in a flashcard app is delusional. There are so many more things to learn and so many different ways in using that that you probably didn't practice. And thinking that you can read just because you know all the characters in the text because you have reviewed them as flashcards is equally misguided. This is far from the case, and reading is about so much more than knowing individual characters and words. And in a similar vein, thinking that you will understand spoken Chinese just because you have drilled individual syllables and words in an app is perhaps even more misguided than the previous two examples. Indeed, I think it's safe to say that most of the things you need to know to use Chinese proficiently can only be used in context, and that means listening, speaking, reading, and writing. It does not mean flashcards. So is this a problem with flashcards, or is it a problem with how we use flashcards? Well, in theory, you can work your way around this problem in several ways. For example, you could put a longer text or a longer audio recording on the front of the flashcard and then ask some question that requires you to process all that language. Or you can somehow make flashcards more dynamic, maybe by using different prompts all the time and using the same answer, so effectively having more than one front side of the flashcard but only one backside. However, none of these methods feel satisfactory to me. If you're going to put long passages of text on a flashcard, why can't you just read instead? It just feels more enjoyable, more meaningful, and more interesting for many, many reasons. Some of the benefits of flashcards are also lost when you make them more complex, because, like I said earlier, one of the main benefits of flashcards is that they allow you to isolate certain things you don't know so you can focus on them. So the more you focus on the unified whole, as it were, the less useful flashcards will be for this reason. So while you can do certain things to include more context, such as, say, using close deletion or including example sentences and so on, I do think that these also have drawbacks. They make the flashcards much slower and less efficient. So in other words, I do think that this is an intrinsic problem with flashcards, and, well, people use them differently, but I still think it's a problem. Moving on to flashcard problem number two, low transferability. When you learn anything, you need to make sure that the things you learn also transfer well to the intended use case. Your goal is to improve your Chinese, after all, it's not to get good at flashcards. As we've already discussed, knowing a word or a character on a flashcard is not the same thing as being able to interpret it in a sentence, and this is even more true for spoken language, where things simply don't sound the same in context. That means you can have a very high retention rate in your flashcard app while still not being able to understand or use these words in context. One example I think most flashcard users have encountered, maybe unknowingly, is that you learn to answer the flashcard itself but not the actual language question. So what I mean by this is that if you have, say, a character on the front of your flashcard and you are asked to recall how to pronounce it, well, the goal is, of course, to remember the pronunciation of the character. So the goal is to go from character to pronunciation. But in many flashcard apps, there are other pieces of information on the front of the card. For example, let's say we use example sentences, as I just mentioned, or maybe the character is included in a word, but you're still asked to recall the pronunciation of that specific character. Well, some people learn to do this without actually reading or looking at the character they are supposed to study. Maybe it is part of a word where it often occurs, so you don't actually need to look at it, or you learn what the example sentence looks like and you just know, when I see this, the answer is that. And this is clearly not something that happens if you started learning Chinese recently, but if you've been using the same flashcard app for a while, sometimes you will notice that I can actually answer this without reading or listening to the prompt properly, and that is not good because you are then not practicing what you are supposed to practice. An egregious example of this might be in apps like Duolingo, where they maybe play a sound and you're supposed to choose the correct character, But since they also show pinyin on screen, it's unclear if you're actually being tested on being able to transcribe the sound into pinyin or recognize the character. And you could use either of these, and the app then doesn't know which one you know and which one you don't, and then you kind of lose one of the benefits of doing this type of practice in the first place. So could we work around this problem? Maybe. The problem here stems from the fact that flashcards are static and that they try to test isolated knowledge related to specific parts of the language. And as we've seen, this is in itself a problem. And the more context you add here, the more you detract from other upsides of using flashcards. So yes, you could work around this, but at a cost. Next up, we have flashcard problem number 3, shallow processing. In the previous episode, I talked about active recall and deep processing and mentioned that this is a benefit of using flashcards because you're forced to think about something fairly deeply rather than just seeing the answer and recognizing it. However, the fragmentary nature of flashcards can also stop you from processing the language deeply enough. Flashcards excel at teaching you simple one-to-one relationships so that A equals X or B equals Y or something like that. And the questions you ask about these relationships need to be unambiguous. So if a flashcard prompt has 5 different answers and you need to guess which one it is, this is typically a very bad flashcard. You need to have one and only one correct answer. The problem here is, of course, that a real language does not work like this. There is a lot of ambiguity in language, and dealing with this ambiguity, it could be argued, is a huge part of learning to understand spoken and written Chinese. And that means that if you reduce it to these one-to-one relationship, this equals this, then it really doesn't prepare you for reading or listening, which is so much more complex and involves so much more. So could we work around this? Is this more about how you use the flashcards rather than the flashcards themselves? Nope, I don't think so. I think this is an inherent problem with flashcards, and it's hard to get around this. Moving on to flashcard problem number 4, not meaning focused. A language is a system for communication, and we use it when we want to convey meaning to other people, or of course when we want to understand meaning that someone else wants to convey to us. In general, language learning activities that focus on meaning are preferable to those that don't, and of course flashcards don't focus on communication. To explain this more properly, let's have a quick look at Paul Nation's 4 strands, and I talked about this at great length in episode 94 if you want to check that out. But in general, we have 4 aspects of language learning, or 4 types of activities, or strands as they are called in his model. And the first one then is called meaning-focused input. The second one is called meaning-focused output. The third one is language-focused learning. And the fourth one is fluency development, which we also spent an entire episode on, and that was episode 99. The important thing to point out here is that 3 of these 4 strands are about meaning-focused activities. That means that the primary goal is to communicate in some way. And this, of course, includes reading and listening, that's also communication. And it also includes speaking and writing, at least if your goal is to communicate with another person. So writing a character to practice handwriting, just to practice handwriting, is not communication, of course. And writing a sentence 5 times to practice a specific grammar pattern is not communication either. Nation suggests that these strands should be roughly balanced in terms of focus and how much time they are used. This means that the third strand, language-focused learning, which is where flashcards and grammar practice, pronunciation and so on all fit, should take up roughly 25% of your time. And then it goes without saying that if you're doing flashcards here, it has to take up significantly less than that. Maybe just 5-10%, depending on what other things you want to fit in that strand as well. While Nation's model is widely used and backed up by research, there is no consensus here exactly how much you should do each, or even if this model is the best one, but I use it a lot for designing courses and also for analyzing individual students' Chinese when I coach people. And I do think that it is very helpful, and if anything, I'd say that the language-focused learning should maybe make up less than a fourth. And this pushes flashcards into a very tiny corner of your whole approach for learning Chinese. The problem here is that there is something very artificial about practicing a tiny aspect of the Chinese language and doing so for no other reason than that you need to practice it or review it. If you're already used to flashcards, this doesn't sound very strange. I mean, you learn words, isn't that good? But you are not, in fact, doing anything that is related to real language use, because that is about communicating, it is about conveying meaning, and you're not doing that when you use flashcards. This also comes back to what I talked about transferability before, and this is relevant for all the language-focused activities that you do. You are not practicing tones to get good at answering questions in an app built for that, and likewise you're not practicing flashcards to get good at flashcards. You're doing this in the hope that this will then improve your ability to communicate with other people. That is the end goal. But there is a strong case to be made here that you should just cut away all this stuff and go directly to the point and actually communicate instead. Because with meaning-focused activities, you are communicating right away and you don't need all that other stuff. I'm not saying that language-focused activities are always bad, although there are certainly people who do say that. But I am saying that if you're practicing something which is fairly far removed from what you want to use it for, you need to think really carefully if the activity you are doing actually takes you closer to that goal of yours. Is it transferable to the real-world situation? And it can be argued that many flashcards are not. So before we move on, is there a workaround here? Well, no, I don't think so. Flashcards are in and of themselves not communicative. You are not focusing on conveying meaning. And the expressed purpose is to review a certain piece of knowledge, and that is in itself, by definition, not meaning-focused. We have now come to flashcard problem number 5, time waste and opportunity cost. While different students use flashcards differently, it is clearly true that some students use flashcards way too much. And this is a problem because it might not be the best thing they can do, and there is a high opportunity cost associated with spending, say, several hours a day working on flashcards when you could do other useful things such as reading, listening, or having a conversation. I've been in touch with many students who spend way too much time on flashcards. Some of them seem to do only flashcards, and in fact, I know there are students who do exactly that. If you're one of these students, my goal here is not to shame you or anything. The goal is simply to help you reconsider and realize that flashcards is maybe not the best way to learn certain things, as should be clear by now since we are on problem number 5. But still, it is a problem when students realize that flashcards are great and then they think, oh, they work really well for this, so let's do more of them. And since it can feel rather nice too, which I will get to in a bit, it's easy to just ramp up flashcards and neglect other things. This is a clear example of when the problem is not the flashcards themselves, but rather how students use them. I've personally spent at least 1,000 hours on flashcards, probably around twice that, but while that sounds crazy, it only makes up a small fraction of the whole study time, and you have to remember I've been learning Chinese for more than 15 years, whereof many were full-time when I did have time to do lots of things besides flashcards. I would estimate that when I spent the most on flashcards, it still didn't exceed more than a fifth of my study time, and while I think that's a little bit excessive looking back at it, it's also when I relied the most on flashcards, and most of the time it's been something I do maybe 10-15 minutes a day. Like I said, this is a problem we clearly can work around in theory. It's just about how much you rely on flashcards and how much you rely on other things, and this we will discuss in more detail in the next episode in this series. It's not as easy as just telling students to rely on flashcards less, because a number of questions immediately pop up. I mentioned 1/4 for all your language-focused learning, so maybe half that could be on flashcards. Well, of course, it depends on all the other things you're doing and so on, so there's no clear easy answer here. Second, as I mentioned in the previous episode, it's also very motivating to use flashcards because you get measurable progress. You can see that number of words you have learned tick up, and that feels good. So simply stopping doing that can demotivate certain students. Which is a great segue to flashcard problem number 6, measurable progress to a fault. Normally, measurable progress is good. Benchmarking your Chinese to make sure you're making progress, or keeping language logs to see how you spend your time, is great. And like I just said, seeing that number of learned words go up is motivating, especially if you've reached the intermediate plateau, you don't feel like you're learning much anymore, but at least you can get this actual real number that you can see goes up and kind of prove that you are moving forward. However, and of course there's going to be a however here because we're talking about problems with flashcards, when you measure something, you need to make really sure you're measuring the right things, Because otherwise you run into lots of transferability issues that we talked about earlier. The goal is not actually to have a large number in an app. The goal is to be able to listen, speak, read, and write. Other examples that I've written about on Hacking Chinese before, so as usual, I'll put links in the description, include things like scoring well on the HSK, which does not mean that your Chinese is good. And of course, the opposite is also true. Failing on HSK doesn't necessarily mean that your Chinese is bad. Another example is that getting good grades in your course doesn't mean that your Chinese is good, and the other way around as well. It all depends on what you're counting. For example, I did very well in my first year of learning Chinese here in Sweden, but many things were not tested and I didn't learn those things as well, and those turned out to be rather important when I moved to Taiwan the year after. And to learn more about this, you can check out the How I Learned Chinese series, and I'll put links to that in the show notes as well. The problem of measuring the right thing is of course not limited to language learning, this is a problem in society in general. So if you have a company and you want to reward employees based on their performance, you need to make really sure that the performance measurement actually is what you're after, so that workers don't focus on the quotas or the numbers that you have set up while neglecting the ultimate goal of the business. Anyone who has thought just a little bit about this question will realize that it's quite hard, and I think it's safe to say that the more you measure, the more incorrect that measurement will be, and you will miss things. This is even more problematic when learning a language, which is what we are talking about here after all, because making any kind of objective assessment of your own proficiency or progress is almost impossible to do. You need outside help, and well, you can subjectively gauge how you're doing, but as I've said before, the better your Chinese gets, the less you will subjectively notice that it improves. This is, I think, why people cling to flashcards and other such measurable progress, because you can see that number going up. It's also why people like textbooks and other standard courses. You work your way through a textbook, you finish this section, that unit, that module, and you make progress. And this makes you feel good, and this is a good thing, it keeps you motivated, but it might not be a reliable measurement of how much you actually learn. We actually talked about that in episode 150, Seeing Through the Illusion of Advanced Learning, which is essentially a rant about focusing too much on making progress in textbooks, no matter how much you actually learn in each textbook. So the key takeaway here is that measurable progress is good, but that does not mean that anything that is measurable is good. Finally, we get to flashcard problem number 7. Great for reviewing, not so great for learning new things. This is one of my pet peeves when it comes to flashcards and spaced repetition software. And I often remind people that it's spaced repetition software, and that means that you're reviewing things you have learned at some point and your goal is to remember them. That doesn't necessarily mean that the best way to learn something completely new is to start reviewing it immediately. I think that's a very inefficient, tedious, and also rather boring approach to just hammer away at something until you start remembering it. And you're much better off spending more time with the thing you want to learn in the first place and actually understand it. When it comes to Chinese, this should be pretty clear. If you download a list from the internet and just start hacking away at it, I think this is not the right way to use flashcards at all. But if you're creating or using a list of flashcards that is based on what you do in class or maybe the book you're reading or something like that, then that is of course fine. This is something we talked about in episode 140, so do check that out, and as usual, I'll put a link in the description. And this is clearly something you can work your way around, just make sure that you never encounter things for the first time in a flashcard app. And that's a piece of advice I wish were completely unnecessary and superfluous, but I do know that some students encounter words for the first time on a flashcard, and there is something seriously wrong about that approach, in my opinion. Okay, so those were 7 downsides of using flashcards for learning Chinese. If you were convinced that flashcards are awesome for learning all sorts of things before listening to this episode, I don't think that I've changed your mind maybe, but I do hope that I have given you some food for thought. And if you have any questions or reflections, feel free to head over to Hacking Chinese and leave a comment. If you came into this episode thinking that flashcards are really bad, did I cover the reasons you don't like flashcards? Are there any other downsides that I didn't mention maybe? You are of course also welcome to leave a comment and we can have a good and interesting discussion about the topic. In the third and final part of this series of episodes focusing on flashcards, I will try to weigh the pros and cons against each other and help you develop a strategy with or without flashcards that works for you. Thank you for tuning in to the Hacking Chinese podcast. If you like this episode, please share it. More information and inspiration about learning and teaching Chinese can be found at hackingchinese.com. See you in the next episode, and until then, good luck with your studies.